Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, and welcome to this week's edition of the Snowcast. I'm your host tonight, DJ Walsh, joined by myself and my co-host Owen Tab. Owen, how are you going?
Chat shit, get back.
Special guest Jamie Vardy.
Getting on quite well. I'm soberish tonight. Well, yeah. After having one. But I'm on the vehicle tonight.
So what are you drinking tonight?
So we just came over from our old buddy Grady's Yard, and I had a Castaway there by Yellow Billy, pretty much my favourite beer of all time. And I have a fucking cool video I must put up on social media afterwards of this beautiful, vibrant, exploding pint.
You're talking about making a gif out of it.
That was delish. Like,
cut this man open, he bleeds passion fruit sour.
So we're after venturing across the road there to the Beer Keeper, which is an old pub in Waterford, which is a new old pub in Waterford, and it's had a few name changes over the years. Is the Beer Keeper now, was Thirsty Scholar, was like some kind of surname place for a while. It used to be a bakery as well at one stage in its lifetime. I'm over here. They kind of have like a lot of brew dog kind of stuff. Is there any brew dog pubs in Ireland?
Don't think so. I'm not, if there is, I'm not familiar with them anyway. I know we've been to a few. We went to a few in Amsterdam. We were there, didn't we?
Went to one in Manchester.
Went to one in Manchester.
That was a good one, actually, yeah.
The one in Manchester was lovely.
Yeah, I've been one in, I think, Shoreditch in London was been one, so.
Yeah, I've been to a couple in London as well.
They're cool. They're the first kind of craft beer that have kind of gone macro, haven't they?
Like, yeah, they're very much an in-between now. Like, they still do... they still do small batch stuff now, but they also have, you can pretty much get Punk anywhere, you can pretty much get Elvis Juice anywhere. Do you know, they have their flagships, their staples are widely available now across a whole range of countries on a mass scale. So it's probably, that bigger scale than many of the craft breweries we'd be very familiar with, you know.
Oh yeah, cool. Look, I'm on an alcohol-free, well, actually, it's 0.5%. It's called Raspberry Blitz, and it's a...
There's a dash in of it.
There's a dash in of alcohol in it. Just keep me interesting. Keep me eyeing. and yeah, it's fairly mank.
Is it, Jack?
Yeah, I would have been better off knowing where I'd been, I'd say. But yeah. Sure, look,
James Miller or the joint, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What about yourself, TJ? What are you drinking there?
I'm having a Punk IPA. Punk IPA is lovely. Like, it's a nice drink to drink. I say about 5.6%.
Bit gassy, is it?
A little bit, yeah. But tropical flavors coming through. In fairness here, like, they have a couple of Brewdog taps, they have a couple of taps at the back as well, and that kind of selection. And actually, they had the Metal Man Calypso that they're out of. I'm going to try that tonight if they had it. They actually have Castaway out the back as well from Yellow Belly. But a couple of Brewdog ones there. I went for the Punk IPA because it's one I know, and it's one I know.
Sure, flagship February, you know.
Flagship February and all that, like, yeah. So happy out on it. We'll have a couple of sips of it, and after we listen to a couple of the, read out a few of the listener questions that we put on Facebook today, we can go and watch Man United PSG then.
Yeah, yeah, sure. We also had a competition there on Facebook for the kind folks over at Muldoon Whiskey Liqueur. Gave us a bottle of Muldoons to give away. So congrats to a very worthy winner, Paul Lambert, one of our wonderful listeners. Thanks,
a loyal listener.
Very loyal listener. Yeah. Thanks for listening, Paul. And I hope you enjoy that sweet, sweet nectar, that delicious Christmassy all time of year drink.
Yeah, I mean, it's Christmassy and Christmas time, but it's just festive dress here, like, so yeah. Perfect. You can drink it anytime. And also they've got a range of drinks. Tin gin is probably one of my favourite gins as well that they do.
Yeah, that's actually really delicious. It's lovely with kind of I don't think I ever had kind of gins before, you know. It's always kind of like the lime or cucumber kind of shite.
Yeah.
But they kind of have a orange and lemon kind of like this real citrusy flavours, like, and it's delish, like.
And they're fans of tin gin up in Davy Max as well, where we'd often frequent as well. Another great Waterford bar with a fantastic snug.
So again, well done to Paul, and thank you again, Muldoons, for providing us. We'll be over to collect it off you.
We'll be over to collect it off you, and we hopefully do a bit of podcasting out in the air bar as well.
Yeah, here's hoping. So sorry, actually, I'm not prepared at all. I'll get up our.
Well, actually, to be fair, like, there's a grand couch there, and I'm in a grand chair here. We're a
bit too relaxed.
We're using the microphones too to this week, so we're not like handing the phone back and forth and sitting on the edge of our seats. But sank into the chairs and almost dozing here.
Grand. So look, we'll tip on to the old listeners' questions there.
So like we like to do every now and again, we'll throw up on the social media what people want to ask and go off some fairly random questions.
So Gary Ilson said, I really like this one. What would your last meal be if you were on death row?
Last meal if I was on death row. We've covered favourite meals a good bit on the Snowcast, like over the series, like series one. One of the early episodes was like, what's your favourite meal ever that you've ever eaten?
Mm.
And that was open to interpretation. I think a few of the lads went for, like, you know, what's their generic favourite meal, and others were like, this specific meal. You went like very much like Johnny Moon in the fucking blank taste and
in Vietnam.
If I was on death row, can you go like an all you can eat buffet? Is that cheating?
I suppose you can. Yeah,
I don't know. It's a very difficult question to answer because, like, for example, right, if I chose like, if you want to choose cuisine, say my favourite cuisine is Italian. Exactly. So if I chose Italian, how would I go in from, but how would I just say, like, probably my favourite Italian dish probably is carbonara when it's done properly Italian style.
Mm.
Then would I want that to be my last meal ever, like, could have steak, like, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Nana's roast chicken, gravy, roast buds, crispy, like, fucking.
I think, though, this is the kind of crux of the question. Like, you're only allowed to choose one.
I'm going through the process of elimination.
Right, okay.
So, but I suppose my grandmother would hardly cook for me if I was on death row, would she? Like?
I don't know, it depends, like, what if you're falsely accused, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
She knew.
Right, like. So she knew, and they wouldn't believe her alibi.
Yeah.
I'm having her roast chicken gravy, spuds, peas.
Is this the alibi that you were eating?
I was eating at the time. See me, like, trying to retrieve my feces from the date and, like, prove what I had eaten. And that's it, yeah. Nana's roast chicken.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably go kind of home cooked as well. Like, I'd say I go, so, like, whenever I go travel.
Your mum's solid sandwiches.
Hey, don't knock them. Yeah, whenever I go traveling, like, or going off on holiday for even 2 weeks or whatever, like, and if I'm ever kind of arriving back to my parents' house or whatever, like, no matter what, it's very funny, like, no matter what time of day it is, like, day I'd be arriving back, like, could be arriving back in Waterford at 2 a.m, like, they'd be texting me, like, what do you want for dinner? Like, I just want to go to bed. Yeah. I still eat it, like.
Oh, you still eat it.
But every single time, like, it's bacon and cabbage, like.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's hard to be big.
I think it's because, like, you can get, like, say, like, you can get steak, like, abroad. You can get, like, you know, even kind of like chicken and stuff. But, like, bacon, you never see abroad.
It's,
like,
it's not a restaurant friendly dish to make.
No,
is it, like?
No. So, yeah, no.
I actually had my Nana's bacon and cabbage there on Thursday last week.
Stuff.
Unreal.
Good stuff, like.
Unreal. I don't think I'd eat dinner that night, actually. I had it at lunchtime. Just like, six, Nana's Sixth Sense, like. Basically, I landed at the door on the way up from Cork. Was like, oh, just said I'd call in. She was like, I thought she might call, so I pawned and joined the bacon.
Yeah.
Top notch.
Yeah, I love those days where you have two dinners, like, and actually, those days used to be every day when I was a child. So I used, like, after school, I used to go into my granny Tab's house, and so it's like, say, I know every time school would finish at 2:30 when you're a fucking youngster, and, like, finish at 2:30, get in there, she'd have to... Oh, excuse me. I hope you sneeze
all over your dinner.
I hope you had your volume turned down.
Seasoned with snots. Salty snots.
So she used to sneeze and then she said, "Hello, Owen, how are you? Welcome home from school."
She was allergic to it. I can't believe it took me that long to get that one out.
But anyway, she's have a dinner ready for me every day. I used to be kind of a weirdo as a child as well, like, still am a little bit. But I used to eat everything, like, separately. So, like,
no mixing.
What?
No mixing.
So, like, I used to eat my meat first, and then, like, I'd eat, like, the potatoes next, and then I'd eat the veg next or whatever. So it used to be like this,
I kind of still do that. Mine used to be...
But this, actually, my grandmother used to separate it onto three different plates.
Oh, yeah, she was that good.
Yeah.
See, what I do my dinner now most of the time is I eat the veg first, because the veg is obviously not the nicest part. So I'd be trying to save the tastiest bits for the end.
Mm.
For two reasons. You want the aftertaste of the nice bits, the gravy, meat and stuff.
Mm.
But also, like, you know, if you have a big dinner in front of you, like, the grandmothers would be feeding you a big amount, like, the mothers as well. When you have a big amount in front of you, you want to finish it, like, because if you don't eat it all, they'll think, you don't want to disappoint your grandmother, not eat the full grub, like.
Yeah.
So I'd eat the veg and then the spuds and then the meat be left.
Okay.
But, like, the reason I do that is because it was best for last, but I knew, like, I'm not leaving any meat behind me, like.
Oh.
So, like, it was my way of guaranteeing
that you'd finish the meal. Yeah.
And the odd time I'd be sitting there, like, busted at Nana's house, like, fucking arms up again, wrapped around the table, legs, like, she'd be like, "Did you not enjoy your dinner?" No. And I'd say, "Oh, I'm just taking a break." Fucking mounting a grub on the plate.
So good. So tasty, but
it's hard to beat.
Anyway, Gary, that's fucking...
So what did you even answer?
Bacon and cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon and cabbage.
I'm not with it, lads. There's going to be a lot of this faffing tonight, I think.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Right, that's a great question. Well, your answer will probably change every, it depends on the mood you're in.
Right. Connor Mudge, what's your opinions on 10 pin bowling?
Connor Mudge, I haven't shown you this yet, have I?
No.
So Connor is a long term listener, and Connor appeared on episode 12, I think, of the Snowcast. My favorite quote from Connor in that episode was, "Fuck the Queen."
Fuck the Queen, yeah.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Fuck you, Tory loving.
He's not Scottish.
Ah, he is tonight.
Do you know what I think? Fuck the Queen. Classic Connor. So Connor got selected for the English 10 pin bowling team. That's where he's coming from with that. So I know he's actually playing in Dublin there later on there. He's telling me at one stage. But he has his bag for his equipment and gear and stuff for going 10 pin bowling. What's slap in the middle of that bag? Snowcast sticker.
Ah, brilliant.
So like Connor, yeah.
I hope it's on Sky Sports.
You can tell us that we sponsor you, alright? We actually don't sponsor anyone because we've no money. We like sponsor you in spirit. If anyone would like to sponsor
us, yeah, please.
Yeah, like that's a recurring message we're putting out there. Like, we've had a few nibbles, but no bites.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to pay us to do this, we'd be more than happy to. But my opinion on 10 pin bowling, it's actually great crack, like.
Ah, yeah, it's good crack, like.
It's great crack. And do you know what? When it's one of them things, like, when you concentrate, you'd be handy enough for your shot. Like. I'd probably never bowl a 200 game in my life, like, so just never be arse, like.
I'm probably a triple digit man, well, you know.
If I got 110 now, I'd be.
Well, I'd be happy enough, like, yeah.
Happy enough in my lot.
Yeah.
Go off then, but some of our outtakes we've gotten into 10 pin bowling before, and it's led us down a straight path from a legal point of view. So we won't get into Bruce Springsteen, but there's some good bowling gaps around Ireland, like.
Yeah.
K bowling, Kilkenny is great, crack.
Yeah.
We've got like an arcade and stuff like that as well. I'm not too up to date on like 10 pin bowling techniques. Like, do you know when you'd see some lads go with the arm forward and kind of lobber? Yeah. Some lads go underarm, some lads go like a swishy arm, like, you know. I don't know what works best for me, I'd have to go again, like, find out.
Yeah. I remember when in transition year in school, like, we'd like PE, it was kind of like, I think it was like a longer PE, because, like, you know, transition year in school.
A double PE, like.
I'd say like a double, double, like. But, like, because they don't want to do anything with you in transition.
It was like a Friday afternoon, kind of like, them transition your bastards, like, could
leave
be
off,
arse doing that with them
off,
Friday afternoon.
It's a half day, basically, like, you know.
Basically, but, like, not but pee.
It was cool, like, they because our school is so big, like, they allowed us kind of choose what PE we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, like, you used to be kind of segregated into different groups because you couldn't have, like, fucking 150 lads doing fucking soccer or whatever, like, yeah. You know, because it's just be absolutely reckless. So he's going to be split up into different PE groups. One of the choices we had was bowling in Waterford. And I remember like going out like and sure, it was cool crack, like. You used to be always kind of like going about, like, you know, like. You know, like, you'd be pulling up the, you know, the what are they called, like, the barriers.
The barriers,
for the, yeah. You know, the barriers, so it doesn't go into the gutter. You'd be pulling them up on lads and stuff, and, like,
Striking them out,
and, like, you know, trip. Obviously, the classic one was, like, kind of just giving the lad a quick tip on the ankle.
Were you ever able to do the run and between the leg, behind the back, between the leg, or?
Oh, actually, one of the boys did it one day, and it was funny, because, like, he didn't leave go of the ball, and you know the weight of the ball to take it? So it took his arm and, like, hooked his leg and brought him out, and he went flying in the air, so.
Nearly castrated himself.
Nearly castrated, nearly killed himself.
Right, I'm going to. On the spur of the spot now, right? I'll put you on. The match is about to kick off over there in the corner. If people see the pub, like, basically the TV screen isn't within our view.
Yeah.
Should we stay recording, right?
Yeah.
Go on transit, move over, and keep asking the questions while the match is on and chat about the match while it's going?
Maybe. I have to go for a quick slash first.
Right. So what we'll do is we'll pause this, I want to go for a slash, and I'll set up over for you to tell you.
Excellent.
Right, lads, so we just waited till half time there in the match. Had a look on being a United fan. How's United getting on against PSG first half?
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because, like, it's just such exciting football again. Like, I could watch that football all night. Like, it's just so good. Pressing football, attacking, few nice little passes around. Like, nice little feisty game as well, like, you know.
We're watching on Irish television, obviously. So, any listeners in the UK or the States mightn't, obviously won't have the same commentary that we have, but Jim Beglin made one absolutely brilliant point there earlier when he said, like, United have been a fantastic run, is it 11 games, 10 wins and 1 draw, is that what it is under OGS?
Yeah.
Like, he said, they haven't faced an opponent as good as PSG, and this is a, like, depleted PSG side, nil all. There haven't been any clear-cut chances. Mbappe had one chance where he should score, like, but been no chance other than that, but you can tell, like, United are still very dangerous, so PSG can't go forward too much. But PSG not a full strength, like, as well. United are forward in respect. It's very cagey, like, first 45. Champions League quality is just way better, like. I think they're actually, it's nearly proven a point that I made last couple of weeks about the Premiership shit.
We'll leave that one off the table for tonight. I was saying there that I would like to see all the Premier League teams do well.
Yeah.
And this, just try and get, like, because, well, how long is it now since, like,
Liverpool last year, the first team to get to final since
4 years, was it, or so?
Chelsea in 2013, maybe. Yeah. When did Barca beat United? Was that 2011? Yeah.
2011, yeah.
Like, Chelsea 2013, did they win it then?
No.
Against Bayern. No, Bayern won in 2013 against Dortmund.
2012.
So it was 2012 Chelsea, yeah. So that's the last time an English team were in the final. Certainly Arsenal, Spurs, and City weren't getting to a final anything recently. But anyways, enough of that fucking football talk now. We've had listeners' questions. We have great, like, super question from Gary. Connor, nice little sneaky plug for himself there. Owen, you're getting the Facebook on there again.
So, Mark Walsh.
I was going to say no relation for the crack, but Mark's my youngest brother. Shout out to Mark.
So I'll read it out as the question is phrased. How much bags of bacon fries is it possible to eat in one sit-in?
Thanks for that grammatically brilliant question, Mark. How many bags of bacon fries could you eat in one sit-in? Bacon fry, right, again, for the foreign listeners, bacon fries are basically like, are they like pork rinds in the States?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
I'd say so. That's what we imagine pork rinds are.
I think pork rinds, though, are kind of like more like the fluffy, they're kind of
like
Cheetos kind of things.
Like the chip bacon fries you get in Tesco.
They're kind of puffy ones, yeah.
So the bacon fries you get in a pub over here are much much more dense with flavour.
Like a streaky bacon, like little snippets of streaky bacon.
Yeah,
like,
but in crisp form.
In crisp form, yeah.
But they're tiny bags, tiny packets. They're absolutely fucking delicious, but so salty.
Yeah.
That, like,
there's only about six of them in a packet, like.
Like, the smell of them would give you a thirst for a pint alone.
Mm.
I reckon I could probably eat 25, 30 bags of them one sitting.
Yeah,
they're small enough. They're salty and heavy, but, like, I can eat, like.
Yeah, there's been many a night now where, like, you throw down a bag, like, you know, a few bags of crisps. Actually, I wouldn't mind a bag of crisps here. Anyway.
Sure, might have one there in a minute for the second half. Fucking bacon fries are savage. Straight out, bacon fries are the best snack you can get in a pub. Besides, like, pizza and stuff.
Yeah.
The best, like, they're better than any crisp that you can get in a pub. Better than any nut. Like, a bacon fry is the man. Like.
Yeah, it is. I back up. Although I do like the way Grady's Yard have, like, pizza. Fucking bag of meanies.
Oh, yeah, they do random ones. So, meanies some weeks, chip sticks the others.
Monster Munch. Wheelies.
Phillies does have the bacon fries, though. Although 1 week he was out bacon fry and only scampi fry, and I'm not into them.
Nah.
So, Deals do a 6-pack, 3 bacon fry, 3 scampi fry, and that's ideal for me and our lad. Because, like,
is he a scampier?
Sledge loves a scampi.
Yeah.
Oh, what does Liam go for?
Goes for
Sidona, large bottle of Sidona.
How many could I eat in one sitting? Yeah, probably around the same, yeah.
Like, if you forced yourself to, you could do 20, 25, 30.
Yeah.
If you hadn't a dinner. But like, if you had a full dinner or came out for a few pints, you'd hit double the figures handy enough because they're lovely and they're small packs. Great question mark.
Actually, Richard Smith, this is a exact same tie-in question. Best accompanying snack when drinking?
Okay, that's a superb question. So like,
so right, okay, so we're saying we're not okay, so we could say drinking non-pub related, could we? Do you know, as in like, yeah, do you know what,
let's give a couple of different scenarios.
Barbecue. Oh man, we've had some amazing barbecues. So drinking barbecues.
Yeah. I think bottles, cans, no.
No, you bottles, have to have, yes. You have to have cheap American beer while barbecuing, like.
Yeah, I go along with that.
Few bottles of Budweiser or something.
Bud or Miller.
It needs to be kind of a watery drinkable thing. That's
a watery piece of shite, gassy, yo.
It's because as well, you're assuming that like you're barbecuing during like hot summer weather, like, you know. So you want something.
Well, summer weather, whatever it gives it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We often barbecue in the rain.
Like. Yeah. But we still have the shorts and the shades on. Like, you know,
yeah,
so.
Every Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
6
yeah.
o'clock. Snowcast HQ.
So, right, barbecue. Any other?
So, barbecue, you're looking at kind of cheap bottles, Miller. Or Rich, actually. I know Rich well. Well, Rich, he'd probably be a fan of a bottle of Stella now with a barbecue. Although he's a vegan. Is he vegan or vegetarian? Not sure. But it's probably Richard Lover halloumi skewers.
Well, if he's vegan,
yeah, he's a big fan of the halloumi. So Rich, if you're listening, a bottle of Stella and one of our halloumi skewers and you'd be right at home.
Good stuff.
He might like the rest of the stuff, but or he'd love the barbecue pineapple we did there last year.
Oh Jesus,
yeah. That's let's good. Go sure is it the middle of April now, we'll be back in the barbecues.
Yeah,
we need to do a barbecue.
Yeah. Here is honey vegan?
Sure, tis not like tis a right. So I would probably not know because their bees are farmed, aren't they? Like the honey is farmed. But like there's only bee juice at the end of the day, isn't it? Like
yeah.
Basically, like take all signs away, like. I don't know because milk isn't.
What?
Vegan.
Isn't, yeah.
No. So, but I'd say not.
Alright, okay. Right.
But I think he's vegetarian, not vegan.
Alright, okay. Thanks, Rich.
Sorry if we called you a cunt a few weeks ago.
Please clarify. Do you have any other accompanying kind of...
Right, I do, actually. So, do you know... Join your one for a Chinese.
Yeah.
Like, a bottle of beer is lovely, that. Like, no.
Oh, stop, yeah. I never have a curry, like, I have to have a beer.
You have to have an old washer
even
downer.
Even making, like, an old...
It's just a washer downer.
Uncle Ben's at home.
Sure, like, can a Canadian from Electric Picnic 2016 still left over. 2 years out of date. Do you know what's lovely as well? Whiskey and ice cream.
Whiskey and ice cream?
Yeah.
Are you talking about our sponsors, Muldoon's?
Muldoon's and Ben & Jerry's. Ben & Jerry's.
Hey, fuck, that'll be delish, man.
Imagine a Muldoon now with a fucking cookies and cream.
Yeah.
Or a
peanut butter cup or something.
I was just going to say, a peanut butter cup or the Häagen-Dazs peanut butter crunch.
Oh.
Like, the real life doctor introduced me to Häagen-Dazs, believe it or not. Like, talk about a fraud. Introduced people to ice cream. Introduce me to Häagen-Dazs.
Ice cream.
Yeah, the fucking fraud. Healthier life. I love you, Simon. The real life doctor, Simon Cahoon, great fellow follower on the Instagram. He introduced me to this Häagen-Dazs peanut butter ice cream, and for about a month straight, every time I left the house, Niamh was like, "Don't you dare come back without that Häagen-Dazs peanut butter ice cream."
Man, great stuff. Give me the munchies now for that.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
So, and then, yeah, look, as we said, then I suppose for pub
sure at lunchtime, like, you just want one or two Guinness, like.
Guinness and a sandwich.
Before you head back into work.
Guinness and a beef sandwich.
A little ham sambo and a pint of plain. Do you know what, though? There are sometimes there's very few things better than finishing the day's work and having one crisp pint.
Yeah.
It's so hard to stop at the one, but you usually have to because you're driving.
Are you saying crisp pint?
Crisp pint.
Or crisps and pint?
No. One crisp pint with some bacon fries. Shout out to Mark. Rich, great question. I suppose if you're on a night out, right, your night out dictates what you're drinking, and then what you're drinking dictates what you're eating. So like, that's separate. But like, it's very hard to have a hefty feed of cider
with anything,
yeah, because it's so gassy and bloating. When you're sinking, do you know what's the, I tell you, myself and Sledge, right, the grandmother's funeral months ago, and it's about 9 o'clock, and we've had the dinner about a couple of hours earlier, 9:30, and we're in the pub, and I'm after about 14 Guinness, right? Beamish, maybe. No, I was on Guinness the day of the funeral. I was in Beamish a few days before. I had to change. And Sledge sent one of my young cousins up to the Chinese up the road for 2, 3, and 1s from himself and himself.
Chips, rice, and gravy.
6 and 1. 6 and 2. He sent the young fella up for a 6 and 2. Chip, rice, and gravy. And fuck me with the Guinness, it was unreal. Can we go on?
Jesus.
So, Rich, depends what you want. Funeral, you want the gravy, chip, and rice. Well, you probably don't want gravy because you're a vegan. It's not vegetarian. But that's what we recommend. And then we've discussed other scenarios. Brilliant question, though. Next one.
Good stuff. What else do we have here?
I like these listener question ones. Throw up some really random topics that we end up getting in the right tangents over.
And then the last question then is from Paul Lambert. How much are you looking forward to the hurling with a hungover idiot?
So I think Paul is actually referring to his trip over here in a few weeks where he's never been to a hurling match, so I told him he'd try and find one. And I looked at the National League that weekend, so we probably have to do a bit of travelling to get to one, because Waterford aren't playing at home this year in hurling. So probably have to either go to Thurles to see. I think Waterford might be playing Tip that weekend, or Clare, but Waterford are playing in their home games in Thurles.
Has that been announced yet?
I think the fixtures were, the league has started and everything.
Oh yeah, but I
don't know what Kilkenny at home that weekend.
I thought there was a thing where it was like everybody's home games were announced, like the home stadia, like obviously were like.
Yeah, but see, Walsh Park has been no longer deemed to be fit for purpose.
Yeah, but I didn't know they had Thurles down for it. Like,
they played their last home game in Thurles anyway. But basically, Paul's coming down on a Friday afternoon. By the way, I just want to announce to the masses, like, Owen did the competition random selector yoke to win Paul the bottle of Muldoon's. Like, this is completely unrelated. But Paul's coming over for the weekend, so he's coming over on a Friday afternoon. I'm going to pick him up for the airport. We're not going to record a snowcast on that Thursday night. We're going to bring Paul to Grady's as soon as he gets down. Neve's also babysitting in a leash, so boys' night. Into Grady's. We'll give him a taste of Yellow Belly, taste of Grady's, and a taste of ourselves.
Peach.
And sure, look, we'll go and do a bit of hurling on the Sunday. I know what we'll do on the Saturday. We might do it on a pub crawl.
Good stuff. Thanks anyway, lads, for all those questions.
Yeah, super.
Keep them sending them in. We have we'll also accept any voice messages that you want to send in. You're available to send them in on the Anchor app, or you can send them in if you just record a snippet on your phone and want to send it. You can send it into our email, which is thesnowcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we're happy, and instead of us reading out the question, then we'll play your little snippet so you can put whatever twang you want on the question, and happy to answer them. When next time we do a listener question, we probably do more frequent. We haven't done it in a good while.
Yeah, I really like them.
We haven't done one in about 2 months.
It also makes our jobs easier.
Because we don't have to think of it. It's hard to come up with answers, but fair folks to you. And look, this is actually quite a chill night for us recording, because the bear keeper's quiet. We're just watching the match here in the background and stuff like that. It's been really nice. I just want to give a mention, Owen, quickly today. Hopefully, we might actually record a couple of minutes there just to go into a bit more detail on Thursday night. But the reason we're not recording on Thursday is because your parents do some wonderful work with the guide dogs there, and they raise guide dogs, and they're ambassadors for it. And they raise a lovely dog who's going to be ambassador for the guide dogs and winner, an absolute legend of a dog. So we're going to a quiz on Thursday night in aid of the guide dogs, and we might do a little bit of recording there, but I just wanted to give them a plug just in case we don't, because it's absolutely fantastic to donate to these causes where, like, you know, people less fortunate than us have a means to have a means to get around, and the guide dogs mean so much that it is absolutely fantastic support cause like this. And just at the Stonecast, we're all about the crack and all that, but at the same time too, there's no substitute for a bit of charity in your life.
The Irish Guide Dogs for Blind in Ireland, they've done stellar work. Roy Keane has been an ambassador himself for him, and
long-term ambassador,
long-term member of him, and he's committed so much financially to them, and being a face for them as well throughout the years.
But he's great with his time as well.
Yeah, he is. They do fantastic work. It's been real eye-opening, kind of seeing the whole process of how they're raised. And I think the figure is something like for each guide dog to get them through training from until they go to a blind person or a visually impaired person, it's I think €36,000 per dog to raise. So that's why there's constant fundraising needed for these dogs.
Yeah, more than happy to support, and also fair play to Raheem, but also absolutely from the bottom of our hearts, shout out to anybody who volunteers for the guide dogs, including both your parents, wonderful people, Geraldine and Liam Tabb. Very proud of you both.
Yeah, all right.
So, listen, lads, we might give you a snippet from Thursday. If not, that's been another little short Stonecast here from the Beer Keeper in Waterford. Lovely spot. Thanks for all the questions. Some bunch of lads.
Good luck. Good night.
Sláinte.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.